the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show every week is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford and Jesse Goldsworthy. As always on the program, we look at all AFL and Blues news and review the remaining AFL round. Kate Jezelenko joins us for Kate's Plate, a dish best served cold. We cross live to the Hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues supporter events and anything else in footy that we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
No worries. Yeah, we'd like to have a special thank you to the WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, the Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathalane, and a big special thank you to Barbaro Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thanks, Craig. Well, it's that time of the morning again. Good morning, Kate. How are we this morning?
Good morning. How are you going?
Good morning, Kate.
Morning, Kate.
Morning.
What's it like down there in Starlock 13 in Melbourne?
Melbourne, yeah.
In isolation land. It's crazy. It keeps getting crazy by the day.
It does it. So you and the family well?
Yeah, everybody's well. Everyone's good. We're just staying home and doing nothing. It's getting really monotonous.
How's that school teaching going, Kate? Well?
Next question.
No. I just had to throw it in there.
How's the new baby?
Oh, she's so cute. She's the love of my life.
Look, on social media, I did notice, do Trent have to go and buy a new couch? Is there something?
Yes. She's into everything. I couldn't care less. I adore her. She's a beautiful little thing.
That's
love
good.
It.
Good to hear. All right, Kate. So who are we dishing up today on Kate's Plate?
On Kate's Plate today, I'm serving up a dish to all overpriced players and the hubs having a whinge. While most of us are living week to week on job start payments in isolation, we understand how tough it is at some of you on heavily front-loaded contracts paid out before COVID and now on a measly 50% of the back end of your contract. Oh, woe must be ye that have to put in a request to the AFL for carpenters to come in and redesign your Gold Coast resort villa. Woe is ye that are having a mental breakdown because your request to bring your pet Fluffy to the hub was denied. Woe ye of little substance that even the exfoliator can last 48 hours without a facial charcoal scrub or avocado mud mask. Spare a thought for thousands of families living off scraps or trying to homeschool their kids, reaching depression levels, yet still paying for their AFL club membership. To the prima donna few, you didn't eat your peas or finish your meat, so no pudding for you on Kate's Plate.
I find it disgusting, disgraceful.
Very well said, Kate.
Have you heard about what they're doing there? Yep. Ordering new mattresses in because the mattresses aren't comfortable enough to sleep on. And
yes,
I have. Oh, my goodness.
And there's a certain team in yellow and black. A certain team in yellow and black that are doing a fair bit of the whinging too.
Wasn't it
Mrs. went for a $20,000 facial?
Yeah.
Cost him $20,000.
Cost him more than that, yeah.
Like
majority of them, they've got out of Melbourne, they've gone up to the Gold Coast, so they think, oh, we're on a holiday, let's go, we need this.
Yeah. Don't know how tough it is, some of them.
No, they just don't know how tough it is. So, Kate, also, while I've got you on the line, we've got a big pre-match function over here tomorrow before the Eagles games.
Oh, I hear.
And I hear that a little birdie tells me, I could be wrong, but a little birdie tells me that we could be getting a live cross to yourself tomorrow as well.
I believe so. Lucky me.
How lucky are we?
Twice in a week and I get to speak to you guys. Can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
And I might, I get to actually look at you tomorrow. I can't wait.
You do. You're going to be on the screen.
Oh, gee, I might have to go go get a facial and do me hair for you, Kate.
If you're here, Trent could put you out, but you're not.
Excellent.
He might join me on for a little chat too, so you'll see how shiny his face is tomorrow.
That'll be excellent. The only problem we've got over here tomorrow, they are forecasting 40 mils of rain.
Bring your snorkels, bring your flippers.
Oh, God.
So it is going to be wet, wet, and then wet. So anyway.
Lucky you get to go to the football.
Yeah, I know.
I can't wait to get in and, I'm starting to really miss everything now.
That's true. We are fortunate and we're whinging about a bit of water, but I'll throw it out there to the Carlton faithful. Please get along to the Campfield tomorrow, 10:30 start. Function will conclude at 12:30. We're going to have auctions. The auction is the Taylor Harris signed jumper with that iconic photo embedded in the frame.
Ooh, tempting.
The raffle will be the signed Curno Brothers jumpers. We'll also have second and third prizes, which will be vouchers from Barbaro Butchers in the Campfield. So get along. We've got a lot to do. And we're also going to be crossing live to our good friend Kate. So she'll be live on as well with a chat. So all you blue baggers, get to the pre-match function tomorrow at the Campfield. So there you go, Kate. So we'll look forward to crossing to you tomorrow sometime at the Campfield. And hopefully there'll be about 250 mad Carlton supporters there
so we can actually have a good
chat.
No worries. Looking forward to it.
All right, Kate. Well, you take care and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
No worries. Talk to you then. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. See you, Kate. Bye.
See you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Craig, while we're there, let's go over to some AFL news. Any time today be good?
No, that's fine. Sorry. Kate's put me off guard a little bit there, but anyway. Okay, AFL news. The fixtures for round 13 was revealed on Thursday with the Blues to take on Gold Coast in Darwin. 3 days of no AFL matches will occur between the conclusions of round 12, Monday, August 17, and the beginning of round 13. With the AFL allowing all clubs a breather after the scheduling of 33 matches in 20 days for rounds 9 to 12. The fixture will be Friday, August the 21st. Gold Coast play Carlton in Darwin. On the 22nd, the Bulldogs v. Demons. Power versus Hawks. Bombers versus Tigers in Darwin. And Dockers versus the Swans. Sunday the 23rd, Crows v. Cats. Lions v. Saints, Eagles v. Giants, and Monday the 24th, the Pies v. the Roos. The AFL has ruled that the Boots Sydney debutant Sam Wicks wore in Thursday night's loss to Collingwood were not compliant with the league regulations. The issue came to light after Magpie star Isaac Quainer sustained a severe 16 to 20 centimetre gash on his leg, which was...
Mate, he split open. What happened to the days where the old umpire used to come in and
check your boots?
They don't do that.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Do they still do that at junior footy?
Yes.
I think that might come back in, though, I think. Mm. the Swans confirmed post-match and again on Friday that Wicks wore boots were standard issue screw-ins with a hybrid sole plate that included plastic and aluminium stops. The club said in a statement following discussions with the AFL, it had become clear that these boots are not compliant with AFL regulations. The Sydney Swans will take steps to rectify this immediately to ensure that all boots are compliant going forward. The club has been in contact with Collingwood to express its regret for the incident and concerns for Isaac, whom we wish a speedy recovery. The AFL confirmed that there would be no sanctions for Sydney or Wicks, but the AFL's General Manager of Football Operations, Stephen Hocking, contacted all clubs to remind them any form of exposed metal studs or stops were not permitted. A bit late after the horse has already bolted to shut the gate, but anyway. Richmond players.
Here we go.
This is interesting. Nick Vlosten and Jaden Short have apologised to teammate Mabiyar Scholl.
Well done, Craig.
Not bad for me, eh? Pretty good. Getting pretty good at English. After they were accused on Friday night of groping during a post-match team song. Tigers coach Damien Hardwick was grilled over the players' behaviour during a press conference before abruptly cutting the media appointment short. Veteran Channel 10 reporter Hugh Rimmington questioned the coach multiple times about the post-match incidents. The vision was circulated on social media and showed Short grabbing Scholl Yep. Well, he's
okay,
down below, following the win over the Bulldogs. He might have been a bit excited, and Vlosten grabbing at Scholl's backside after the win over the Lions. Rich?
Yeah, I saw also it's come to light just recently that the ex-Tiger, Muttler, now playing for St Kilda, he was having a grope too with the St Kilda guys.
Yeah.
What's going on down there at Tigerland?
Well, we can but not say it on air. Maybe they're a bit friendly down that way. It had become aware of some player behaviour during post-match team songs recently that is unacceptable and not in line with the club or community expectations. It was a stupid action and I am deeply embarrassed. That's...
That's enough on them. We don't want to give them too much air.
No, we can't be giving them too much at all. Collingwood has been fined $50,000, of which has been suspended after a game of tennis involving Fig Jam. Oh, sorry, Nathan Buckley. Breached the AFL return to play protocols. Player agent Paul Connors has also been sanctioned for running a camp prospective playing for the draft kids, which is...
It's a bit shifty there when I hit by Paul. I know he said I didn't.
He probably thought he was doing the right thing, but yeah, I think he wasn't. I think he's got other things in mind. So
I know we've got a heap of fines from the outcomes, and the Melbourne guy got four weeks.
He deserved it.
So anyway, thanks for that AFL news, Craig. So Jesse, let's have the Blues injury update. So I know there's no in and outs yet.
No teams out yet. First of all, thanks for having us on today.
Good to have you back, mate.
We heard Teague speak during the week about Matthew Kruse. I'm not too sure whether it might sound like it could be the end of the season for him.
We're getting a few mixed messages, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We get from Andrew Russell, he's doing three to four weeks.
Yeah, he's back in the hub and all that. Yeah. Silvani says 2 to 3 weeks, but...
There's a bit of noise.
He's going to have an operation. Gone for the year.
Could be out for the year, but not confirmed.
Not confirmed. Cunningham, we know he's out for a week or two with that calf injury that he sustained in the last game against Hawthorn. Marchbanks back playing for the reserves this week. That's a great sign for him. Also, it seems like Dow should be a test for that reserves game. And Mitch McGovern, whether he lines up against his brother this week, who knows? We'll find out when the teams are out. And that seems to be it for our injuries at the moment. Obviously, Kerno Newman still not to come back. And the rest of them.
Is there any other news in the Blues?
We've got some more Blues news. So this week against West Coast, tomorrow will be our 5th annual Carlton Respects game. In order to raise awareness of gender equality, the boys will be, and also preventing violence against women, proudly sponsored by MC Labor. The boys will be wearing their orange socks, so I encourage all blue baggers to wear a bit of orange or the new era orange hats if you've got one. Bring it along.
And if you come to the function, some pre-match function at the Canfield tomorrow, we'll be giving out orange ribbons. There'll be a lot of memorabilia about the Carlton Respects round and what it's all about, so we'll be promoting it as well.
Yep, so get along to that.
Yep.
And in other news...
I think there was a bit of AFLW trade news, mate. How's that?
There was. So it was a bit disappointing seeing the Sarah Hosking made her way and departed to Richmond during the week. So all the best to her and her future endeavours down at Punt Road.
Obviously, she doesn't want to win, but okay.
That's fair enough. Yeah. But Carlton has pulled off the biggest deal of the AFL women's trade period thus far.
Huge. Securing
midfield star... from Melbourne, Elisa O'Day. Is that how you pronounce
it? Yes, that's it.
She joins the club alongside former first-round draft pick and speedster Maddie Guerin. So the Blues have had to hand over a first-round pick, which ended up being pick 15, and which we received as part of the Sarah Hosking trade from Richmond. So good win on all parties there.
I think that was excellent. Go on quickly.
Yeah, I actually seen some of the highlights on both those girls.
Well, good.
And the second one you mentioned, she's quick.
She'll
fit in really well with them.
Anyway, we're actually going to go for our first break now and some few words from our sponsors. And when we come back, we've got a special interview that was with CEO Kane Liddell. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by Chris, Craig and Jesse. So today we were supposed to have an interview with Kane Liddell, CEO of Carlton, but what we've done instead, he did an interview with AFL's Carl to me during the week, so we'll play that. So listen, sit back and have a listen to that.
G'day and welcome to a special Footy Feed podcast. I'm Cal Toomey, and while I'm up on the Gold Coast, I'm going to be chatting with a number of club CEOs to get a look at this unprecedented AFL season and beyond from their perspectives. I'm starting by talking to Kane Liddell, Carlton's chief executive. G'day, Kane. Thanks for coming on.
No probs. Morning, Cal. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're up only in the Gold Coast Transition Hub, as am I. What was it like to come up, and was it always your plan to be involved on the ground up here?
No, it wasn't always my plan. I was probably open to changing my views or changing the plans as we moved forward. It's such a unique situation. So originally I'd been based in Melbourne. I'd been working from home since mid-March. We actually haven't been, the club hasn't been open to administrative staff. It was really just the football staff and the players. So I'd been doing that and sort of got into a nice rhythm there. Probably as it's become evident that essentially all the risks within your football club right now really reside up in Queensland or in WA or in the hubs or wherever you are. So sort of felt like it made more sense for me to be on the ground here. Equally, we've had of the 400 people who've come into the Queensland hub, approximately 60 of them are Carlton partners and children. So just to have another set of hands here around to help probably made sense. And equally, I can do my job on my laptop in the room just as I was doing back in Melbourne.
You talk about those families. What was it like to go through that process and see who was involved and who wanted to come up and who didn't? And the players themselves, I imagine, are looking forward to seeing their families and partners and kids in coming weeks.
Oh, there's nothing surer than players and football staff are looking forward to seeing their families. They haven't seen them for probably a bit over 4 weeks. I think we're into the fifth week now. And as you know, we're in a quarantine hub over in WA. We'll be there for the rest of this week. We get out of quarantine in WA over the weekend, and then we've got another week over there to play one more game, at which point we'll then return all of our players and staff back to Queensland and reunite them with their families. Equally, there is still a lot of our families who are back in Melbourne who who stayed there for a whole range of different reasons. And look, it's a really difficult situation back in Melbourne, and all of us are thinking of our families and friends and all of our members, our Carlton members back in Melbourne, because we do know how difficult it is. So there's a whole range of unique circumstances, Cal, whether that be school-aged children being homeschooled or babies a bit young to travel, or a whole range of other reasons, supportive parents or need for care in Melbourne. So it's a unique situation, and I'm hopeful we never have to face this again, but it has presented a whole lot of individual challenges to a whole lot of individual people. But, you know, I couldn't be more proud of how our staff and players have dealt with the situation and every single thing that's been thrown at us, just as all other clubs have this year. We've sort of dealt with, and as difficult as that may have been, we've just got on with it. And you know, not only am I proud from what we've delivered off the field and how we've done that, but I think equally the way we've gone about it on the field, I think it's been great and probably exciting for our Carlton members back in Melbourne to be watching.
We'll get onto the on-field stuff shortly. Matthew Cruz is up here with his family, just one of a number of the Carlton families. You actually organised a bit of a dinner last night out on the grass area here at the resort. I was lucky enough to cop an invite too. It was a nice feed. Is it part of, I guess, the silver linings that you can take out of this period, that you can get to know these families a little bit more and in depth, and these relationships can form too?
Yeah, I think that's definitely been a positive. Yeah, some of the staff and partner families who you just don't get a lot of an opportunity to get to know during the season, because football's so busy and 24/7, and everyone's schedules are different, and partners are working and kids are at school. So that has been an advantage. And as you said, Maddie had to go back to Melbourne to get a couple of things done and to focus on his rehab. And he's come back up and obviously planning to rejoin the team, and having to do that through the quarantine hub. And I suppose another silver lining that's come out of this whole situation is the way the clubs have worked together. I'm not sure I ever believed that this could be possible, that this could happen. Yeah. You know, the Richmond boys have got four or five up in the hub here, and they're doing their own stuff. They've got Robbie Innes, one of their high-performance staff, in here. They actually reached out to Cruz and offered him to come in and train with them while they were here. Yeah. Equally, we had a practice match in Queensland, I think it was a week and a half ago, and there was a few boys from other clubs who just needed a run, but there weren't enough players from their team for them to be able to form a team. So we actually took some players from other teams into our, you know, what you'd call a VFL program, and allowed them to play with us during a practice game. So, right. You know, it's such a competitive industry. I just couldn't have imagined that I could ever see that happening. But the way clubs have worked together, and there's just been so many great examples of it, has probably been one of the positives that's come out of all this.
You guys have faced some challenges that maybe other clubs haven't had. You've been in quarantine for 14 days in Queensland and then headed over to Perth for 14 days of quarantine there. How's the group handled that? And do you have any sense on where you'll be situated and based for the rest of the season?
Yeah, look, the group's been outstanding, and that's probably a lot of where that pride I was talking about before has stemmed from. To face the reality of the two hard quarantines, which, as you said, no other clubs had to do. You know, I understand other clubs might have had to quarantine in their homes with their families. No one's had to do the 28 days like we have, and I have not heard one complaint out of any of our staff, players, coaches, and you won't hear any complaints out of us either, out of our admin staff. We accept that everyone needed to bend over backwards to keep the season moving. Yes, we drew the short straw on this, and we understand that, but you know, when it came to teams who were available to go to WA and hadn't played the WA teams and a whole range of other jigsaw pieces the AFL needs to slot in, we understood that was what we needed to do, and that's what we've done. And as I said, I haven't heard one complaint, and they've just got on with it, which has been, you know, outstanding to see. In terms of what things look like from here, Marcus King is trying to put the world's biggest jigsaw puzzle together behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And there's so many moving parts, and you might be more across this than me, but I think I've heard now that Tasmania doesn't look like they're prepared to open the borders and host any games. Is that correct in the next few weeks?
That sounds the latest advice coming out of that government, yes.
Yeah, so automatically there's changes that need to be made, I think, to round 12. I suspect that the AFL had planned on trying to play some more games down there, so that will all now change. I've heard Darwin is on the radar, and I'm pretty confident there'll be some games there. Certainly Cairns continues to be talked about, and I think that's probably as much about potentially needing to get more teams into a hub situation. But equally, to give the Gabba and Metricon some respite, because they're copying a belting at the moment in terms of games and some of the training load that they were experiencing. I'm also hearing Alice Springs being talked about, and I would have thought if Darwin's an option, then Alice potentially is an option as well. So, look, as much as I think everyone would just like to be based here and play out their games, I think we all understand that's not going to be possible. We'll sit and wait and see what the next batch of fixture updates holds for us. But you know, as I said, our players and our coaches have been outstanding so far, and I don't expect to see anything less in whatever the next phase of the fixture holds for us.
From a membership and corporate perspective, how has Carlton gotten through the challenges of this year? And obviously there's a master plan to rebuild Icon Park and redevelop that area too. How's all that tracking in light of what has been such a challenge?
Yeah, look, let me start with the members, because the support of members, our members, has been incredible. I'm not totally surprised, as the research for many years I've been quoted before talking about this has highlighted that about 8 in every 10 members join their footy club because they want to feel a part of that club and they want to financially support their footy club. Now, never cow did I imagine we would have a real-life situation to test the theory, but the outpouring of support from our members, both in pledging their membership and in some instances through this, if you can believe it, actually upgrading their membership, has been quite humbling. And knowing that many of our members are struggling financially through this crisis but still want to support their footy club, it hasn't been lost on any of our staff, players and coaches. And we'll be forever grateful for that. And we have a very, very clear understanding of the need to repay that faith and commitment that's been shown to us by our members. And, you know, we have every intention of trying to do that. Equally, our corporate support has been just equally as strong and incredible. You know, our co-major partner Hyundai have actually allowed us to take up certain assets that were available to them and provide them to our members to say thank you to our members. That's resulted in the Back Our Baggers campaign, which has been a huge success for both us and certainly Hyundai. And obviously our other co-major, Virgin Australia. I mean, no industry in the world has been hit harder than the airline industry. And, you know, the messages we continue to get from the senior leadership within Virgin is they still see a long-term relationship with the AFL and they would still like to be involved in Carlton. And they've benefited particularly from our Carlton in Business network. Now, equally, we understand they're going through new ownership. They're now under new ownership, and there's a whole range of steps that they'll need to take internally before they can confirm that. But certainly the business network that we've exposed them to has been a huge positive for them. All of our other partners, you know, ranging, right down from Icon and Latrobe and Puma, you know, right down to some of our smaller partners have been very, very supportive. And in actual fact, in some instances, provided further investment to us to help us to get through this and help us to support our staff and our people.
I know Riley Beveridge wrote a story on afl.com.au last month or a couple of months ago around the Icon Park redevelopment. That's still pressing ahead?
Yeah, it is. It's probably, again, been a small advantage, everything that's happened, because with all staff working remotely and now highly likely that none of our players will return to training at Icon Park, certainly in the near future, it's actually given us the chance to push ahead with some of the internal works and, you know, some of those works that don't necessarily need permits. So we've really ramped up that project, and we're now hoping to start the internal works in late September, early October. And those internal works will see brand new change rooms being built for our AFL team, but equally brand new change rooms being built for our AFLW team, and they'll be right next to each other. And the plan is that as the master plan takes shape, that those change rooms will exit out onto a brand new aquatic facility for all of our athletes, both male and female, and a new indoor training facility and a gym that'll be double the size of what we've got now, as well as improved high performance facilities and a full integration of all our staff in our men's and women's football program. So no longer will they be separated in different grandstands or different parts of the ground. They'll all be in the one area, working with each other and learning from each other and fully integrating our men's and women's programs, which, as I said, I think it'll be the first fully integrated facility, certainly in the AFL, and it's something we're both excited and very proud about.
Now, we've spoken about off-field matters. Let's turn our attention to on-field, because it's been an interesting year. There's been some wild sort of footy played from all clubs, but Carlton seems to be in the middle of a number of those games, five games decided by 7 points or less. How have you sort of managed to follow the fluctuations of the team? And has there been some frustrations that, you know, there's been some strong leads that have been squandered and some opportunities missed to push a little bit further up the ladder?
Oh, I think if I'm channeling Teague, I think he'd say, yeah, there's been some frustrations in giving up those leads. But I think equally, both him and I and others within the club understand that going through the phases we're going through and the development phases and the essentially bringing a whole range of new players together, that there's going to be those ups and downs. And yeah, there's going to be the way Teague coaches and the style of footy he wants to play is a very, you know, it's an attacking and it's an exciting brand of football. And that's exactly what we wanted when we brought him in. We wanted to give ourselves the ability to kick scores, to win us games. And he's certainly doing that. Now, you could argue that there's been a slight overcorrection, and that is becoming evident in the opposition's ability to also score heavily against us in short periods. And that's something I can assure all Carlton members and supporters. We haven't got our head in the sand. Yeah. Teague's very, very aware of that, and certainly working with the coaches and our player leaders as to how we address that. But if I'm to take a step out of the emotion of wanting to win every single game, I understand that they're the phases of development you go through, and there's going to be some great highs and there's still going to be some disappointing lows, and they're all part of improving and getting better. And equally, if you think back to those last 2 minutes against Port Adelaide and probably three or four different situations where we might have closed that game out, they're learning situations that they're priceless. And until you've been through them as a developing group, it's really hard to teach them. So we're getting some great experiences and we're having some great wins and providing some excitement for our fans. But again, we haven't got a head in the sand. We certainly know there's areas we need to improve.
Obviously, it's David's first season in charge with full reins. What has this season made you feel about the trajectory of the side, you know, as a finals aspirant, or, you know, where it sits in terms of its build?
Well, it gives me great confidence. I think I was speaking to someone last night, and I think they said he's coached 20 games. I mean, it feels so much more, but it's only 20 games. So he's only in the very, very early parts of his coaching career, and equally in the early parts of developing this list and teaching them to play the way he wants. And the Carlton list has had such significant turnover for such an extended period. And I think moving forward, it's something we probably need to settle down. Whether we're going to be able to do that this year with potential list reductions, I'm not quite sure. But certainly we need some stability through that list, and some of those early draft picks that we've brought in, we just need time for them to develop and learn how to play Teague's way. And I've mentioned this before, success is not a linear trajectory. You don't just start at one point and end at a certain point, and it's a nice straight line along the way. There's going to be ups and downs. And as I said, you've got to learn from those downs, and you've got to enjoy the ups when they're there to enjoy. And ultimately, your question about am I happy with the trajectory? I certainly am, and I think David and his team, you know, have done a very good job under extremely trying circumstances this year.
Jack Martin's been an amazing recruit, and we know about his front-ended contract deal. It was sort of part of the situation to get him to the club as part of the pre-season draft selection. Would that be something that you'd look to renegotiate once you know how the total player payments look for the next couple of seasons? We know that under the COVID-19 impact and fallout and financial fallout, that contracts have been slashed, you know, competition-wide. Would you look to address that with Jack and his management?
Yeah, it's something our list management team will work through when the time's right. I think if I'm being truthful right now, there's so many moving parts when it comes to TPP and lists. We're not even sure what the TPP is going to be. We're not sure what the list sizes are going to be. It's only been the last week we've really been freed up to start signing some of our players who were actually coming out of contract within the next few months when the season ends. So it's not something we've got to at this point. But what I will say is Jack Martin has been terrific since he joined the club. It's not only what we're seeing on the field. He's the quality of his training and, you know, his ability to help again develop those younger players has been outstanding, and we just couldn't be happier to have him at the club.
Just on another recruit, while we're talking about these guys, Eddie Betts has been fantastic. Do you expect him to go on next year? Because I think that he maybe came to the club with maybe the expectation he comes in for a year to help some of these young guys improve and all that type of thing. But he's put it on the scoreboard, a real impact. Do you expect him to play on in 2021?
Yeah, he has. And we always said Eddie's impact was going to be far greater than just what we saw on the field. And there's been flashes of his absolute brilliance, and he's wound back the clock on a couple of occasions. What that looks like moving forward again is really up to our list management team. And when the time's right, they'll make those considerations and have those discussions. But you're absolutely right. What he's delivered, not only on the field but off the field, has been very, very valuable for our club. And there's a whole range of players who I think he's had a great influence over since he started here. So, again, we couldn't be happier with having Eddie and his family at the club. And just talking about the hub you were referencing there, the get-together we had last night was actually for his wife Anna's birthday. She's got the four kids in the hub here. I think all of them are probably under 8 or 9. She's actually pregnant with their fifth. So incredibly unique situation for her. We were able to celebrate her birthday, and there was actually the AFL been sensational in actually getting some staff to come in and live within the hub to actually help some of these mums with the support for their kids and just get out with some activities during the day. And I think our Carlton members would be happy to hear there was a group of about 10, I'm going to say 8, 9, 10-year-olds the other day having a kick. And he played a bit of a game of Around the World where he set them up at different spots to have some shots. And all 10 of them went to a pocket. You know, there's a green area down the back. And they basically had to have a shot from, they couldn't see daylight within the goals. And, you know, as you can imagine, 8, 9, 10-year-olds struggling with that. Well, one boy stepped up. And you won't be surprised to hear who that boy was, but the reverse banana dribbled it through at ease, straight through the middle, and young Louis Betts walked off waving to the crowd. So it was fine to watch, and it's actually been good to see some of the other potential father-sons as well. Little Max Murphy's been a handful for Jesse. He's got the evasive skills of his old man, so we're certainly looking at him as a future father-son as well.
The Betts pocket knows no bounds. You mentioned the list management team. Nick Austin's obviously taken over that role. How's it going? And is there an area of the list you think that you still need to bolster in this off-season?
Yeah, he's doing really well. Again, really, really difficult circumstances for him because he's back in Melbourne and there's no VFL football for him to watch. He's getting a whole range of videos and audios of all of our games sent back that we're playing, and I think that's all being shared amongst the recruiting network. So he's doing well, again, under circumstances. I mean, when it comes to our list, yeah, I think we're developing and we're certainly improved in areas, but probably apart from the key forwards, which we've got with Harry and Charlie and Mitch and Levi, seems like we've got that well and truly sewn up. I think all other parts of the ground we would be looking to improve. I think probably whilst we're taking that balanced approach of going to the draft and looking to bring players in from other clubs, there's equally a big piece of work that we need to do in connecting our recruiting team into our development team, into our coaching team, because, you know, it's okay to say you might need a rebounding defender or a hybrid mid or a small forward, but we've really got to understand what we've already got on that list. We've got some first-round picks there in Paddy Dow, Lockie O'Brien, Liam Stocker, you know, a couple of others. And equally, there's the likes of Zach Fisher and Tom DeConnig. And we need to get a clear picture of where we think those boys' best positions are going to be and at what, you know, what heights we think they can hit in those positions, because your allocation of resources within your TPP is scarce. So if we're going to go out and make big investments, we need to be clear that they're the right investments and that we don't have the answers to some of those questions sitting right under our noses. So that's a really important piece of work that, as I said, our recruiting and list team and our development team, which is now being led by Luke Power, who's doing an outstanding job, and our coaching group really need to work through and make some decisions as we move into the later parts of the year.
Last year, I think everyone knows this, you're keen on Tom Papley, made the bid to get him. He's in career best form now. Is that an approach you'll make again?
Oh, I think it'd be unfair and probably inappropriate to be talking about contracted players. There was a situation played out with Tom, and I think it's been widely publicised why it played out, but I think we're going to leave that in the past and, as I said, focus on moving forward. And some of those boys, as I've already referenced, we've got first-round draft picks sitting on our list. We're really excited about what they might be able to do for us in the future, so we're equally focused on them right now.
Very good. Now, important week this week for the club in the Carlton Respects game against West Coast on Sunday. It's an initiative that aims to create a society of quality and respect within you know, healthy relationships and home life. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, it's something that's really important to us. We released our strategic plan back end of 2018, and within that plan we had 10 key targets, and sitting alongside winning premierships and signing 100,000 members is for Carlton Respects to be the most influential program when it comes to gender equality in sport. It's a huge issue in society, and it's something that we've taken a lead in, you know, for a whole range of different reasons. Being one of the first clubs to have an AFLW team, you know, really sort of resonated with us and the importance of gender equality. And it's all right to talk gender equality and to go out and to wear our orange socks, which is really important, and bring attention to it. But you've also got to walk the walk with the gender equality. And that's what makes us so excited about our master plan, to actually not only be talking about gender equality, but to be living it and building exactly the same change rooms, size change rooms for for Taylor Harris and Darcy Vesio and Kieran Harrington as Sam Walsh and Mark Murphy and Paddy Cripps are going to have, you know, is something that, you know, we're really living gender equality, and we certainly thank government for their support and also for some internals within Carlton, some sort of high net worths within our network who've stepped up and wanted to support that as well, and that's enabled that to go ahead. So it's a really important program for us, and you'll hear us talk a lot about Carlton Respects and gender equality and certainly a really important role that we play in society.
And look out for the orange socks on the weekend. Kane, thanks for the chat. Really appreciate your time, and look forward to seeing how the Blues go on the weekend and for the rest of the year.
No problems, Cal. Great to talk. I appreciate having me on, and I'll see you at lunch.
Yeah, we'll see what's on for lunch in the hub up here. Keep tuning back to afl.com.au's footy feed channels for more chats with the chief executive.
A very, very, very informative interview there with Kane Little. But time again to go for a break with a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, it's the one and only David the Hyphen Reece Jones. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero. I call talk of none other than the Hyphen, Mr. David Reece-Jones.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Reece-Jones just came in.
They're having a go now.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Morning, David, and how are you this morning?
Oh, yeah, haven't moved too far for the week, so, haven't really been up in any trouble anyway, so that's one good thing.
So you're not working, mate, or are you...?
Yeah, I'm doing a bit from home at the moment, so, I'm normally going around different building sites and that, but I don't think it's really worth the risk at this stage, so just doing a bit from home at the moment, but... Yeah, it's starting to dry up the work over here too, so don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's no good at all, it's no good. We are watching from afar, I can tell you, and we'll give all our support to our friends down in Melbourne, absolutely, and Victoria, so we're all with you, we're all in this together.
Yeah, no worries, we'll get through it all, it should be fine.
Yep. So we've got the big game over here tomorrow, mate, against the Eagles, and we've also got a pre-match function at the Canfield, which is right, massive pub right opposite the stadium. A little birdie tells me too, I might have heard this right or wrong, Dave, that, they might be giving you another interview tomorrow, live on the screen there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I might be. Well, hopefully we can, technology can...
technology going well.
Get something happening. So, your illustrious president rang me, and I'd be happy to have a chat with the fans over there tomorrow. So that'll be great.
That'll be fantastic. All right, I'm going to throw you over to Jesse, who's new panelist here today.
Yeah,
he'll ask you a couple of questions, mate.
Morning, David. Mm-hmm. Jesse here. Just quick one. Who from afar do you think's been the most improved player in the Carlton side for the 2020 season?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Jack Martin's been a real revelation, and he's been a terrific, consistent player for us. Obviously, didn't play for us beforehand, but
yep.
I hadn't seen that. I'd heard a bit about him, but hadn't seen that much of him. But he's having a terrific year this year. But Jacob Wiedering sort of continuing on, and a few of the boys. I think a few of those boys are just getting into the groove, and once you start playing 50, 60, 70 games of AFL footy. That's when you start establishing yourself, and you should be getting that natural improvement happening anyway. And I think quite a few of our lads are starting to step up and realise that they are, bona fide AFL players and can be very good ones, if they continue with their improvement.
And I guess leading on from that question, what has you excited for the future and the direction in which the club is headed at the moment?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm... Even though, scores haven't been great this year, I get excited about our forward line, and I think that's really going to be the key to us. And if we can get the ball in quick to Harry McKay, we get Charlie Curnow back next year. He's a massive player. He's really been solid this year.
Yep.
Mitch McGovern, I think he's going to, he's going to hold his own down there. And then Levi's been doing a great job as well. So, I think that... You look at all the premiership teams, and we're coming up against a good team this week with a couple of, big quality key forwards, in Kennedy and Darling sort of thing. And, so that's where I really see and our spine, the goal-to-goal spine, that's sort of starting to look pretty solid, really. And we get Marchbank into that team in the back line too. It's certainly... bolsters up there, and our midfield's going okay. I'd like to see some changes this week, actually, to be perfectly honest. I'd like to see Zach Fisher get a run, and maybe a Lockie O'Brien or someone. I think we need to shake things up in the I think there's a few players who are looking a bit comfortable out there at the moment, and might need a run in the early game, the reserves game, and might smarten them up a bit.
Yeah. I think you're right there, Dave. The weather forecast over here for tomorrow is just wet, wet and wet, and they're predicting about 40 mil of rain. So I would assume that, there'll be one change because Cunningham's out injured. So I totally agree, Fish needs to come in.
Yep.
And I would like that extra run of Lockie O'Brien on the wing. It would help us. I totally agree with that. Sorry, Jesse, I cut you off.
No, I just actually had one more question for you, David.
Yep.
For someone like myself who didn't get the privilege to sit back and watch you go and play... back in the day, do you have any favourite moments from playing over here in West Australia or playing against the Eagles at that?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it because the grounds over there were always, obviously going to have a wet one tomorrow, but normally we could go over, they're pretty dry, they're big grounds, and you could create a bit of space. And, the Eagles, they're almost a state side from the start, really. They have a very, very talented group. From, I think it's 1987 they started.
Yep.
And, they had some quality, and good players right from the get-go sort of thing. So, I love the challenge of getting over there and playing against the Eagles. It was actually my last game I played. It was the last round in 1992 that was against the Eagles over there. And unfortunately, I got over the top of us that day. And, that was the day I sort of, not long after that game.
You're just on with tomorrow. You're talking about Darling and Kennedy. You'd almost think that Wiedering would go to Darling and maybe Jones to Kennedy.
Yeah, you'd think so. And look, if that's not working, you could quite easily flip those two. Swap them around if it's not working. So they've both got different skill sets. And, you know, as I said before, you know, Wiedering, I think, has been, you know, fantastic this year in a way. So really grown as a footballer and very, very consistent now too, which is great to see. But, yeah, I think the... I think the midfield's really going to be the key to it, though. You know, I watched that Tim Kelly in the last game they played, and he's in, you know, he's in ripping form, so he's just really finding his feet over there, and which is dangerous for not only Carlton this week, but I think for the whole competition, because they've got a pretty quality midfield anyway, and with this guy coming into it, it just adds another bona fide top-class, you know, A-grade player into that mix, so... Yeah, that's where it's going to be won and lost, and our players really need to be on the ball.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the midfield, because it's, well, I just talking before the show, I said to Chris that maybe, you know, it might have been time to bring in Tom De Koning to help out Pitsnet in the ruck. As I'm saying that, he's sitting here shaking his head. But it's the ruck to me is going to be to try and stop Nick Nat. I just don't know if Pitsnet can go all day.
Well, he won't. He won't go all day.
But who's going to help him out?
Well, Casbolt's been doing a bit of that ruck work. Yeah. I'd love to see De Koning playing in there. And, you know, I think the bloke we got from Richmond, Moore, hasn't really shown enough as a tall. So, but if it's, you know, as you say, if it's going to be wet over there, then, you know, maybe we don't want to go in too top heavy anyway. But, yeah, Nick Nat's been giving him, you know, gold-plated service in that ruck. And I think... If I was a ruckman in the AFL, in any of the clubs now, I'd be writing a letter to that young kid from Adelaide who tweeted something. He tweeted about Nick Nat not working hard enough
about it. Yeah.
Yeah, since that tweet went out, he has been ripping.
Fired him up, didn't it?
It really has been the spark to him. So, if I was Max Gorn or someone, I'd be... right in the leg of that young bloke and saying, keep your tweets to yourself. But
I think tomorrow is just going to be up, especially in the middle, like up to I'll be playing the bigger bodies in there, like Cripper and Ed. I don't know who else you could chuck in there, though.
Kennedy. You know, it should be right up there, Ellie. You need some, you know, players who are going to run straight and hard, but.
Yeah.
The thing we have got, and what you see in there, when you say Kennedy, Setterfield, Cripps, Edwin, they're all inside players, and they're all around the same pace. But there's, you know, I mean, you need a bit of variation in them. That's why
Fisher.
You know, I'd love to see a Fisher and an O'Brien come into that. You know, just add a little bit of pace out, you know, on the outside, which I think we need. I think we do okay in the contestable stuff, but. Yeah, we need to put our outside pace to break it open a bit.
Yeah, we certainly do, mate. Mate, we're going to have to wrap it up because it's been a tight show this morning, and I'm realising you're going to be joining us again tomorrow, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But just quickly, how are you and the family and the dog and everyone else down there? You're travelling okay?
Yeah, we're from what we have to do, I suppose. You just, you know, it's a bit boring living the four walls, you know, saying four walls every day, but that's... You know, that's what we have to do, really, to get rid of this, you know, this disease. I think, you know, a lot of mistakes have been made over here, but and we're paying a price now. But anyway, we just have to do what we have to do to get rid of it, and then we get back to normal.
Yeah, hope so soon.
I hope so. It's good. All right, mate, we better wrap it up. As always, thanks for joining us, mate, and we'll look forward to you gracing
tomorrow.
The throng tomorrow.
Yeah.
Looking forward to another chat.
So looking forward to
another
chat. And I'm
really jealous of you guys. You get to watch the game at footy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, good luck to you. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. Dave, thanks again, mate.
Thanks, Dave.
See you, mate.
David Rhys-Jones. Okay, Jesse, let's just quickly get on to the remaining games for this round, which starts today.
Yeah, it does, against the Power and Tigers at Adelaide Oval this afternoon. Who do you reckon might get up there?
Tigers.
Tigers for you?
Tigers.
Yep, Tigers for me. Lions, Bulldogs at the Gabba?
Bulldogs.
Lions.
Lions for me. Eagles and Blues.
Blues.
Blues. Demons of Roos at Adelaide.
Demons.
Demons.
Yeah, Demons for me as well. Cats v. the Saints at the Gabba. That could be an interesting
Saints.
Game. Saints. For me. Dockers v. Hawks here on Monday evening.
Dorks.
Yeah, the Dockers.
Dorks.
Dorks. Crows v. Pies at Adelaide Oval. Will Crows get their first win of the season?
Hope so.
Hope so.
Go Crows. Crows.
Go Crows. And we wrap up the round 11 with Suns v. Bombers at Metricon Stadium on Wednesday.
Suns.
Suns.
Yep, Suns for me.
All right, thanks. That's very good, Jesse. Now, I just want to reiterate again about before our game against the Eagles tomorrow, the WA Blues have arranged the pre-match functions. The doors open at the Canfield at 10:30 and the function will conclude at 12:30, which will give you plenty of time to get your seats before the game starts, which I think it's a 1:35 start.
Yep.
If you don't have seats, stay on and watch the game at Canfield with the rest of the people. Or, as we say, come back and celebrate our win at the Canfield after we beat the Eagles. There will be guest speakers, interviews, there'll be a Carlton quiz where you can win some great prizes. We'll have a great raffle and tickets are only $5 each or 3 for 10. First prize, custom framed 2020 jumper signed by the Curnow brothers, Ed and Charlie, complete with certificate of authenticity. Second prize is a $200 voucher from Barbaro Butchers and the third prize is the Canfield voucher. We will also be auctioning off the 2020 Taylor Harris signed jumper, again with a certificate of authenticity. And within in that frame is the Taylor's iconic kick.
Look good at my house, that one. Beside Katie Loins.
So come along, enjoy the company of all Blue supporters prior to the big game, and of course, don't forget, as I said, return for the winning celebrations. Entry is a gold coin donation, and all money will be donated back to Carlton Respects. Get there early, as there are still restrictions on the number of people within the function room, but come along, people, enjoy. As I said, if you've got tickets to go, come along, meet us there first. As I said, 10:30 open, gold coin donation. We'll be doing everything, because it's Carlton Respects round, where we'll be donning our orange socks again. So it'll be a lot of paraphernalia about the Carlton Respects. And also, too, in the raffle, you've got a great prize to win. There's got a great auction prize. And, of course, just come and have a chat. There'll be plenty of speakers, as we've mentioned today on today's show. Kate Jezalinko is going to join us.
Reece.
The great David - Reece Jones is going to join us. And there'll be other special guests. Mm. So come along, enjoy.
It'll be a great day.
It'll be a great day. Forget about the weather. Football's a winter sport anyway.
Yeah, that's it. Have
so
a pint.
Come in, have a drink with us all. And as I said, make sure you come back after for the celebration as we beat the Eagles.
It'll be great.
So Jesse, once again, great for joining us again,
Thank
mate.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for coming. Yep. And as normally as Craig steps up and starts to sing, sorry, buddy. And the soaring goes.
Do you want me to sing?
I could sing if you like, mate. But as I said, please, get along to that pre-match function tomorrow, everybody, at the Canfield. Open 10:30 a.m. Join us there. And as we always say on this show...
Go Blues!
Go Blues!
They will know that they've been playing against the famous...